From the Packers TV network, going end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Packers Live. And I'm sure you're thinking Packers Live looks different. So I've composed an ode to explain why Packers Live looks different. It's entitled Ode to Why Packers Live Looks Different, appropriately enough. It goes something like this. Almost 30 years. Now that is a long time when you're digging up guests and composing corny rhymes. So before you or the boss said enough is enough, yours truly decided on changing some stuff. Gonna step back from hosting the show. Lance and Wayne take over, and they'll make it go. So thanks to all of you. It's been a great run. It's amazing what happened, combining the football with fun. Gentlemen, and Lance, you get in the middle there, buddy.
Larry, what are we going to do about the rhymes, though? I always look forward to the poem segment every week.
I'm sure you'll muddle along just fine without them.
I'm no lyricist like this guy. So, yeah, we will muddle along. We're here with the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee, and, of course, the analyst, Larry McCarron. And, guys, we got to start right off talking about this Seahawks win, and or the Packers beating the Seahawks, I should say, 17-9. And the first thing is the tone setter. Right off the bat, you see Nick Perry with a pressure on first down and then on third down with the sack. Guys, do you see more pressure out of this defense this year?
I do, for one. And I thought Larry brought it up in our broadcast yesterday very well. They couldn't block our guys. Nick Perry early on set the tone.
It's a complicated game, Wayne.
They couldn't block our guys. We didn't even have to telestrate that rock on radio. You know, that was good. But the other thing is, I thought, you know, they couldn't block Nick Perry early. They couldn't block Mike Daniels all day.
No, and it was a collective effort. And when you get pressure from more than one point, you mentioned Daniels, I mentioned Perry, pressure from more than one point, that's when you get sacks.
Mike Daniels seemed to be in the lap of Russell Wilson literally on every single play, guys. And I tell you what, that strip fumble was a thing of beauty because the Packers really needed it, Larry, at that point. And then very next play, the answer with Ty Montgomery.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, that turnover changed the complexion of the game. It totally changed the thing. And Mike Daniels, he was just a beast. I think that was the best game I ever saw Mike Daniels play. And you mentioned the run to Ty Montgomery. Packers didn't have a lot of good runs, but that was one of them. David Bakhtiari, a fine down block, that was key.
And how important is that, Wayne, to answer right away? I mean, touchdowns were hard to come by at that point. In fact, they didn't have any at that point, and then they answered.
Well, the way that game was going, Lance, I mean, 3-0 seemed like a much bigger lead than 3-0. Right. So when they get that turnover there on the 6, you know, the Packers spent the whole first half deep in their own end. I mean, not inside the 20. We're talking inside the 15 where they were starting all their drives. So a lot of yards, a lot of first downs, no points. Now they get it at the Seahawks 6-yard line to cash in as quickly as they did. That was impressive.
Now it was 7-6 when the next touchdown went down. And Larry, I would think that most teams in the league now know that Aaron Rodgers usually catches them trying to do a switch or 12 men on the field. He catches them again and still finds Jordy Nelson to get behind the linebacker and through the safety and beats two men.
Lance, I looked at that play closely earlier today. And you know what? Seattle rushed 3. They dropped 8. And still, somehow, some way, Jordy Nelson finds that seam and Aaron Rodgers finds him. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. But Seattle dropped 8 on that thing.
That's unbelievable. And Aaron Rodgers just with the frozen rope throw. Wayne.
Oh, a beautiful timing throw. Really well done. What surprised me on the play, Larry, was 54 chasing Jordy Nelson. Jordy coming out of the slot. And the way they moved him around yesterday, they never, you know, Richard Sherman took him a lot, but not all the time. And I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner underneath, Earl Thomas over the top, and the Packers still win on that play. That's football.
Absolutely.
It was Rock's kind of drive at the end of the game. The Packers get the ball leading 17-9, 6:17 left. And Larry, thing of beauty for a lineman. They run out the clock. They're getting throws. They're converting third downs. They're running the ball. They literally did what they wanted to do to salt that game away.
You know what's interesting, Lance? I've seen them really take control in those situations. I can remember over in Minnesota one time. They got the ball back and just pounded Minnesota. I thought that particular drive was a microcosm of the entire game. That thing was not the prettiest offensive football we have ever seen. However, the Green Bay Packers figured out a way to get it done, just what they did.
And very quickly, Wayne, Eddie Lacy was hardly to hear you heard from. You know, yeah. 5 carries, 3 yards on the
every
other side
time
of the
he
ball.
Got the ball, he had 2 former teammates in his face. I mean, he couldn't get anything going, and they went away from him pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, he definitely did. All right, in our next segment, how Mike Daniels wrecked the Seahawks' day. Chalk Talk with, we got Larry coming back one more time. That's next.
Welcome back to the new Packers Live. You know, Mike Daniels is one of those guys that makes a lot of noise and makes a whole lot of plays. Larry McCarron shows us how he was a pain in the neck for the Seattle offense all day long in our Chalk Talk.
Seen every game Mike Daniels has played as a Packer, and he's had a lot of good ones. But the Seattle game, it was his best.
The highlight of a game-long highlight reel, the club and rip that beat Luke Jokel cold and led to the turnover that changed the game.
Wilson under pressure from Daniels. Fumble the football. It's recovered by the Packers.
It was just me playing hard, being where I was supposed to be, you know, and just being the guy across from him. That's all to it.
Beating the guy across from him. Daniels did it all day. The club and arm over, and Mike sharing a sack with Nick Perry. Now he overpowers Justin Britt with a bull rush, stumbles, but still manages to get up and prevent a touchdown.
And it's just a result from my work, and I just had to continue to work.
Daniels was just as unblockable in the running game. Look at him manhandle Britt again, and Eddie Lacy loses 3. This game was quintessential Mike Daniels. He out-muscled, he out-quicked, but most of all, he outworked the Seahawks and spearheaded the effort that held them without a touchdown.
If this is how we open a season and we can only get better, then it's a great, you know, it's a great place to start.
Rumble, young man, rumble. Daniels was too much for the Seahawks to handle all day long. He was definitely a force. And Wayne, you brought up a great point that the Packers offense, though, had a hard time against that Seahawks defense as well.
Well, it's very interesting. Both defensive fronts, I thought, controlled the day. And that's why we had a 3-0 game at halftime and only 17-9 at the end of the game, because both defensive fronts were in control of that football game. And the Packers were able to survive that. Not so much for the Seattle Seahawks.
Definitely some heavyweights in the NFC. We'll be back with Larry and Tom Silverstein in our next roundtable segment on Packers Live. All right, time to bandy about some of the hot topics coming out of the Seahawks game. Larry's back with us, and we're also joined by the outstanding Packers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tom Silverstein. And Tom, we're going to start with you since you're here.
Okay.
You're fresh blood. We're going to mix it up right off the bat. Here we go. This could get crazy.
Oh, boy.
Could be throwing chairs, who knows what, by the time this segment's over. But Kyle Murphy, maybe a little bit of a rough start, but how did he fare overall, do you feel, during the game at right tackle?
Well, given it was his first start, given that Mike McCarthy is extremely stubborn and will not give any tackle help, no matter how bad it is. I thought he did pretty well. I mean, he gave up a couple of pressures. He gave up a sack, maybe a sack and a half. For what they actually needed from him in that game, it was good enough. He didn't get Rodgers killed, and I think that's really all they really hoped
for. That's a ringing endorsement there, Tom.
It is. You know, when you consider some of the tackles they've had who've gone in there before and have really failed, you got to think that he did a pretty solid job.
We got an offensive lineman expert down here, Larry. So how did you grade the tape, and how did you look at the film on Kyle Murphy?
Well, I'd agree with Tom. In the first half, a couple of rough moments. And that's almost to be expected, a guy's first real start against that caliber of a defensive line. couple rough spots in the first half. However, as I watched that tape, I realized during the second half, I was no longer looking at him like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. He just kind of melded in, and you wouldn't know he was making his first start every morning. Was he perfect and flawless? No, but he was looking like one of the guys as the game wore on. I think, all things considered, a successful debut for young Kyle Murphy.
And maybe it dovetails right off, Wayne. I mean, do you feel comfortable with him if Brian Bulaga can't go multiple weeks or whatever happens with Brian Bulaga?
Well, guys, I think they have to be comfortable with him. He's their guy now. Spriggs got dinged up a little bit in that ball game yesterday, and obviously they made the choice based on what they saw at training camp, based on the preseason games, that Kyle Murphy would get the start.
All right, it's only one game, but we love to jump to conclusions. The defense was outstanding Sunday, did not allow the Seahawks into the end zone all day, held them to under 10 points. Tom, is this the defense we'll see much of the season, or are the high-powered Falcons on a fast track and going to give them a rude awakening? Is the defense for real?
Well, the first thing you have to do is consider the Seattle's offensive line. And I thought they would be better than they were a year ago, but, you know, they lost their starting left tackle, George Fant, and to me, they don't look like they're any better than they were a year ago. So I think you have to take a little bit of it with a grain of salt and find out over the long run what they do. But the thing that I noticed most was that, especially with this defense, is that they can bring waves of guys. It's a season of attrition, and it's whoever can survive at the end. And right now, I think they're deeper than most teams on defense. And so we all know, you know, Nick Perry, Clay mm-hmm. Matthews are going to get hurt at some point. But, you know, all of a sudden you've got Ahmad Brooks. Fackrell actually looked like he belonged a little bit yesterday, Sunday. So I think for right now it looks upward, but let's see what happens against Atlanta.
Are you guys good with the defense so far?
You know, Rock, the thing I like about it is the fact that you've got now some experience. They're not just bringing in rookies, draft choices, or second-year players. They're still waiting to become players. They've got like an Ahmad Brooks. They've got a Quentin Dial on that defensive line. They've got a Ricky Jean-Francois. So they've got experience. I think that'll bode well.
Well, as Tom mentioned, the opponent, the caliber of the opposition certainly counts. However, I will say this. If the Packers can continue the play style they displayed against the Seattle Seahawks, I'm talking about playing fast, playing edgy, and hitting folks. If they can do that on a regular basis, if that is their defensive personality, then that bodes well for the Green Bay Packers defense.
They look faster to me.
Yeah, no, they're playing fast, playing edgy, and they're hitting folks. They continue that against any opponent, and it's going to be good for the Green Bay Packers.
And you compare that to last year when they played Indianapolis. Remember, Indianapolis' entire offensive line was just decimated, and they couldn't push them around. Mm-hmm. Here, they faced an offensive line that was inferior, and they pushed him around. So that's probably a pretty good sign.
Now, speaking of pushing people around, late in the game, Martellus Bennett penalized 15 yards for shoving K.J. Wright after he hit Aaron Rodgers on a first down run. Is this a stupid penalty or a worthwhile price to stand up for the franchise? T.J. Lang was kind of that enforcer. So, guys, do you like what Martellus Bennett did to stick up for his teammate?
I'm all for it. No problems whatsoever with that penalty. He was sticking up for Aaron Rodgers. He's the guy. He's the man. And Martellus Bennett doing that, that's okay with me. And in the heat of battle, the way K.J. Wright hit him with his shoulder, I mean, if you're just out there and things are going on a mile a minute, that's easy to look at as a cheap shot. And I really think at the end of the day, it was.
Wayne, do you have a problem with the penalty? Or do you say, you know what? Standing up for his teammate.
No, I think for team solidarity, I like it. Cost him 15 yards, but I like it.
Spoon, would you push somebody if they pushed me, or what would you do?
I'm not protecting your back.
See, I figured as much.
There's no team on this panel.
I am not taking a fight for you.
There's no I in team, but there is a win, apparently, in Tom's world. I tell you what. All right, coming up, he's one of the real impact players on the Packers defense, but Clinton Dix is serious. His role off the field as well. That's next on Packers Live.
Packers Live is sponsored by...
Welcome back to Packers Live. Safety HaHa Clinton Dix is not your average player. Just before training camp began, he was wrapping up an internship at the Brown County Circuit Court, and he's been taking classes at Alabama to complete his degree in criminal justice. He's a man with a mission.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
I felt like it would be challenging, something that the community can need, help me out with my knowledge as far as what's going on in the world and today's society now. So I just think that it'll be a big help with me later on in the future.
Some would say, well, you don't need your degree. You're a successful guy in life doing what you do.
It's all going to come to an end at one point in time. I've worked so hard my first 3 years in college to get close to my degree, so why not go ahead and, maximize my free education?
Now he wants to help impoverished kids with his Hero Foundation.
Back when I was in with Judge Zymolder, I was in on a lot of juvenile cases, and I got to see kids who need help. And I just think school is very important, education is very important. As I continue to strive for my degree, and I just want to help out in that area. I pride myself on giving back, being accountable, being available for others. I'm a funny guy. I love to have fun, and I love to give back. And I just want to leave this earth knowing I helped somebody else out, and live on.
Very interesting guy, Wayne, off the field and now on the field. Last year, second team All-Pro, and mm-hmm. He's made it known that he wants to be All-Pro and maybe beyond, plus. He wants to be one of the best safeties in the game. Can he do it?
I think he can. Here's a guy who had 5 interceptions last year. He kind of sets the tone in that deep secondary for the Packers, gives them a lot of range back there, and he has that, like I mentioned, with the 5 interceptions, the guy has ball skills.
Definitely. All right, up next, we'll preview Sunday's date with the NFC champs, the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome back. Our final segment of Packers Live. We like to call it the enemy segment as the Packers get ready for the Atlanta Falcons, the defending NFC champs.
I thought the round table was the enemy segment.
Yeah. Didn't want to defend me at all, Wayne. I felt bad.
You had no defense.
None. None whatsoever. But, Wayne, how much do the mind games go into this? Because the Falcons, you got to give them credit. Mm-hmm. They handled business and handled it well against the Packers.
I think the Packers are looking forward to seeing how far they have come in their development as a defense since the NFC Championship game. We're getting a look at Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. You know this hookup. They do it all the time in those shallow crossing routes, and he pops it for a big 20-yard gain. They've got an excellent running back tandem led by Freeman right here who scores on this around the left end. They have two backs who both run it well but are excellent receivers out of the backfield.
Yeah, Freeman and Coleman.
And the Austin Hooper play right here, think about this. That's total blown coverage
yes.
by the Bears. But that was one of the few big plays Atlanta had. Bears gave Atlanta all they wanted to handle. 23-17 was not a big day for the Atlanta offense.
Nice stiff arm as well there. Now, they are a fast team, and the Packers, mm-hmm. You always look at your competition in the NFC, Wayne, and you say, how do we get better? So, on the turf, how did the Packers keep up with that team speed and that defense?
Well, they had 4 sacks in the game mm-hmm. yesterday. And the thing that makes, I think, Atlanta special, folks, and what made them an NFC champion last year, it wasn't the offense that scored 540 points, but it was their defense from day one to the end of last season was the most improved defense in football. And they were really good at the end of the season. And they're better this year with Dontari Poe coming aboard on that defensive line. Lance, speed on all 3 levels of that defense.
And we haven't even talked about Matt Ryan, who arguably was one of the better quarterbacks week one of the season, Wayne. He's become very solid.
Yeah, he's very solid. Well, he always has been, Lance. But last year was his kind of coming out party with that championship of the NFC and his MVP award.
All right, for Wayne Larrabee, I'm Lance Allen. That's Packers Live for this week. We'll talk to you after that Falcons game.